Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back with Dr. Keith Payne, the president and co-founder of the National Institute for Public Policy, one of the true repositories of corporate memory about an increasingly distant memory for most, namely our nuclear deterrent policy and posture. Dr. Payne, you have been talking about the Russian strategy. Some have argued, that this is kind of like what NATO used to envision as part of its flexible response doctrine. What's your response to that?
That's a great point, Frank. And the basic point of difference between NATO's flexible response doctrine and the Russian escalate to de-escalate doctrine is really profound, but it's missed by folks who say, well, NATO had a first use threat in the Cold War, so the Russian Federation is just doing what NATO did throughout the entire Cold War, so don't get excited. I hear that fairly frequently. Let me describe what the difference is, because the difference is, as I said earlier, profound.
Yeah. As Mark Twain used to say, it's the difference between lightning and lightning bugs.
Very good. So what Russia says is, we reserve the right to expand our dominance, even our territory. They've expanded their territory out of the state of Georgia, for example, actually annexing part of Georgia. And the operations in eastern Ukraine look like maybe something similar there. And obviously they took parts, they took Crimea and actually absorbed that into the Russian Federation. So the point is, what the Russians appear to be doing with this doctrine is saying, we will expand our dominance, we will expand our territory. And if you respond to this taking of territory, this changing of borders, we will use nuclear weapons first. Now think about that. What NATO said was, if you attack us in a horrific way, we reserve to use nuclear weapons in the right of defending ourselves, defending NATO territory. That's what NATO said.
Rather
what
fundamental Russia defense. Says,
what Russia said is, we reserve the right to use nuclear weapons against you first as we take your territory. And so saying that those are the same is about like saying that the man who pushes the little old lady out of the way of the train is the same as the man who pushes the little old lady in front of the train, because they both push little old lady.
Well said. Keith, let's turn to our own deterrent posture and whether it has remotely kept up with the kinds of evolutions that we've seen in the Russian nuclear posture, to say nothing of the Chinese. That's a whole nother conversation. But just staying with the Russians, when you look at our both delivery systems and, as importantly, our nuclear warheads in our arsenal, how would they compare in your judgment?
Well, the United States has been pursuing sort of the traditional notion of a balance of terror and maintaining capabilities to deter through a balance of terror, what's been called mutually assured destruction. That was the canonical U.S. and traditional U.S. approach, while the Russian Federation has been moving in the direction that we've been discussing here. And so what you see is essentially a different evolution in the two sides' capabilities. So the United States has a standing policy, this is actual U.S. policy, to not develop any new nuclear capabilities, while, as we discussed earlier, the Russian Federation has been, at least as it discusses its own direction, all about developing new nuclear capabilities. So there's a
Well, it's, it goes beyond
difference.
That, doesn't it, Keith? I've been told that the Russians, I think Mark Schneider, as a matter of fact, your co-author and colleague, has said that they will have essentially replaced their entire nuclear deterrent force by something like 2020 or maybe 2030, is that correct? That new missiles, new submarines, new bombers, as well as new warheads.
Right. If you look at the Russian modernization, nuclear modernization program, nuclear deployment program, it's an extremely robust, as they say, nuclear modernization program. It's something such as we haven't seen since the days of the Soviet Union. I mean, I can give you a few examples. The main modernization programs, again, this is all based on open, unclassified information. They're moving towards what's called a heavy ICBM, the Sarmat, heavy ICBM with 10 metric tons of throw weight that can carry reportedly 10 to 15 nuclear warheads per missile. They say that they've delivered contracts to go back to rail mobile ICBMs, putting ICBMs on railroad cars so that they can be hidden throughout the Russian Federation. A new stealth bomber, improving the older Blackjack or Tu-160 bomber. I could go on and on. I won't bore you with all this.
Submarines as well.
Let's mention that. Most recently, there was a supposed leak, although my personal view, it was an intentional leak, of a plan to deploy a nuclear drone submarine with a up to 60 to 100 megaton, possibly cobalt weapon that would make parts of any place where it was detonated uninhabitable because of the ecological destruction in addition to all the physical damage. And they actually talk about this and show this in their open press. So these are the kind of developments that we've seen on the weapons side of the Russian Federation. On our side, we have an overarching theme to reduce the number of nuclear weapons and to reduce the role of nuclear weapons. That's been an overarching policy. It actually was codified in the Nuclear Posture Review, which is an official document, unclassified document. The Nuclear Posture Review of 2010 said the primary goal of nuclear policy, U.S. nuclear policy, is to promote nuclear nonproliferation. And then how do you do that? You do that by reducing the number of nuclear weapons, U.S. nuclear weapons, and you do it by reducing the role of nuclear weapons in U.S. policy. So the U.S. side has actually said the priority is not nuclear deterrence, that is, protection against these kinds of threats. The priority is to move towards nuclear nonproliferation, and the way we do that is by reducing our arsenal and reducing the role of nuclear weapons in our policies.
Yeah, you know, I'm fond of saying, Keith Payne, that when the president talks about ridding the world of nuclear weapons, his codicil is starting with ours. And that's really, as you say, it's translated into a lack of investment in our, well, the nuclear enterprise across the board in a way that translates into not just trying to maintain what we have, but to make sure that it is effective and as safe and as reliable as we can, but also a credible deterrent to the sorts of threats you've just been talking about. And let me just ask you, if you could, in sort of summary minute or so, Keith Payne, describe the enterprise in the United States, the scientists who have the deep knowledge of this, the infrastructure to support it from an industrial point of view, as well as these critically important deterrent systems themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of the, I think, profound areas for improvement in the United States. And by that, I mean reinvesting in infrastructure. In 2008, the Secretary of Defense and Secretary of Energy put out a joint report that said the United States is the only nuclear power that cannot produce nuclear weapons. I mean, think about that. The only nuclear power that cannot produce nuclear weapons. That captures the state of the U.S. nuclear infrastructure. And if the United States is to remain a nuclear power, to maintain a deterrent against nuclear attacks, such as that got us through the Cold War, we are going to have to go back and reinvest in the infrastructure to be able to do that.
The infrastructure, human as well as capital, and of course to modernize these weapons, I believe to ensure that they can work by testing them underground as well. Something that is a subject for another conversation with you, as the president's Secretary of State has indicated, he intends to try to get the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty dusted off and passed this year. We'll see. In all of these areas, Keith Payne, you are the leader. We're very grateful to you for your time today and for the terrific work you do at the Graduate Department of Defense and Strategic Studies at Missouri State University, bringing along a new generation of extraordinary national security practitioners, as well as the great work you do at the National Institute for Public Policy. Come back to us again very soon, if you would. Bill Gertz joins us next. We'll get the update on the DNI's take on China from him and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.